It is 1074 on your pew Bible, so double check to see if this is working. Yep, that is good. Does that blink my screen? Okay. That's fine. Okay, so Galatians chapter 1, so we start a new series. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. We'll get to that in a second. So if you haven't got a Bible, grab one. It's good to read along with God's Word. Like I said, it's 1074 in your blue Bible. So now, this is a New Testament letter. It's written to a small church plant in the Roman province of Asia Minor, which is where Turkey is today, or in that sort of area. Let's read from verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the church of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But if even we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Let's pray. Father, we pray that these words will challenge us, wake us up, cause us to think. Lord, we pray and thank you for your revelation that teaches us all the things we need to know about you and about your gospel. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us guessing, but you have revealed yourself to us in Christ and through your word. I pray this in Christ our Saviour. Amen. Okay, well, there's nothing worse than getting a fake article over the genuine article. Genuine, authentic article. When it comes to mind, when I think about this, I think about clothing, branding clothing at the, you know, those marketplaces where they're pretending that it's really Nike or Reebok and it's really just a fake. Or I also think about those fake internet email scams of wealth. Imagine thinking that you have millions of dollars assigned to your name only to discover that it was a complete fake. In fact, you actually lost more of your money than actually gained. Imagine if somehow you thought you had like an authentic item, like an antique, a rare antique, or some famous painting, and yet somehow someone sort of snuck in and swapped it over for a fake. And you're sitting there every day believing that you've still got the authentic item, the authentic rare antique, or the authentic artwork. So today we're looking at authentic or fake, and we're looking at authentic or fake gospels. Now, I can speak from my own personal experience, from my own personal religious experience of being raised in a very strict religious cult that didn't have an authentic gospel but a fake religion in it. Now, everything I did looked very, very Christian, looked very, very religious. Everything I did looked very good, even though many times the things I did present itself in the Bible, it wasn't the authentic Jesus that I was following, and it wasn't an authentic gospel. It was a fake gospel. So Paul wants us to be sure that we have the authentic gospel, that we haven't placed our trust in some kind of fake gospel. And this is exactly what's happening in this church that we just read. They were given a fake gospel. But the sad truth about this church is that they already had received and believed the authentic gospel. The authentic gospel they heard was actually from Paul himself, the apostle. But then after some time, they had abandoned the authentic gospel and had believed a fake gospel, which Paul is telling them and us is no gospel at all. And this fake gospel came into their church and can come into any church very well marketed. So we need to hear what God's got to say today. We need to be having have the Word of God in front of us and hearing what He's saying. So today we have a very important task. We need to hear what God's Word is teaching us through Paul. We need to hear the authentic gospel. Why? So we know that we don't have a fake gospel. So for you, the word gospel may carry many different sorts of ideas. You may be familiar or unfamiliar with the word gospel. The good news is that Paul will clarify the gospel as he writes, and so we can hear firsthand the authentic gospel. So today there are three points I want to look at, three highlights that Paul gives us in these verses of Galatians 1:1-9. The authentic gospel is God's, that's the first one, God's delivery plan through Jesus. Now, second point we're going to look at is we can quickly desert the authentic gospel. And the third point we're going to look at is the fake gospels are attractive, but they are evil. Paul starts his letter, we're looking at the first point, with the authentic gospel of Jesus, and this is it. Verses 3 to 5 in Galatians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present age according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, we'll highlight that one. So point one, the authentic gospel is about God's grace and peace through Jesus. God the Father and Jesus give us both peace and grace. Grace is that God treats us so much better than we deserve. Grace is unmerited favour. This means that although we are sinners, we have sinned, we have rebelled against God, although we deserve nothing of God's goodness or blessing, God in His love gives us grace through Jesus. And because of that grace, we have peace with God. That's the good news, which is what the gospel stands for, the good news. The gospel is about Jesus, who gave himself for our sin. The gospel is that Jesus has delivered us from this present age. You see, before we received the gospel, all we know is this present age. It held us captive and away from God. And then this present age is hostile to God. Why? Because it offers no hope, it offers no God, not the true God. It brings no grace and brings no peace. It's hostile to God. This present age tells us that we are free to do whatever we want. But what it does, it makes us an addicted slave. A present age makes us addictive slaves. It continually tells us, I will satisfy, but never does. So we keep going to the material things or other things it presents, and we are left empty. We try all sorts of religious, spiritual options, and they make us slaves. The world of this present age is any view that is not governed by God and His Word. It is a life interpreted and lived outside of God's rule under Christ. But the good news is that Jesus delivers us from all of this. We are no longer slaves to this present age, but sons and daughters to God. Sons and daughters to God the Father. We are no longer of this world, we belong to Christ. The gospel is God's rescue mission from sin, from our hopeless dilemma outside of God's goodness. It's a rescue from us being slaves to just this material world. And this rescue brings us into God's family, delivers us from one place and takes us to another. So Paul starts his letter off with a clear teaching of the gospel. The gospel is God's rescue mission to all people. It was Jesus' decision to save us, not our own. He gave himself for our sins, verse 4. It was God's the Father's will to save us through Jesus' death. Jesus who gave himself for you and me. It's only Jesus who can redeem us. See, sometimes we think that we're good enough, even as Christians. Often we can think we are ticking all the right boxes before God, or at least enough boxes to get in favour with God. And usually we've created all those boxes on our own. We've grabbed a bit of scripture and we've grabbed a bit of other things. But it's not what God has declared or revealed. And so we live within our own religious system. Usually a system we can live up to. A system we can strive to achieve. So we think. But we don't see our problem for what it really is, and we delude ourselves in thinking we are okay. The cross of Jesus is saying we're not okay. It took God in the flesh to fix our problem. And if we are so good, then the God of the universe didn't need to die. But it was the only way to reverse our rebellion and sin. Jesus gave himself for us so that you and I as sinners would be redeemed back to God. Jesus gave himself so that we would be eternally saved. This was God's will. This was God's plan. It tells us this in verse 4. God's will, that we would be rescued by Jesus. God willed it that we would be his people, in fellowship with him forever, sharing in all the eternal blessings with God the Father and God the Son. That's why we have plenty of reasons, don't we, to praise God. That's why all our songs today, we're praising God, praising Jesus. Because we are wonderfully blessed through his death and resurrection. We give God the glory because of the gospel hope we have. The gospel is that we receive God's favour only through Jesus. Our efforts achieve nothing. Jesus' work on the cross has achieved everything for us. So this passage gives us confidence in following Jesus. It's not my will or your will, but it's his will that has called me to his own. But in all this, we are called, of course, to trust our lives to Jesus, trust his work. Repent and trust our lives to him. Turn away from that lure of the world, that love of this present age, and come to Jesus. If it was up to us, we would fail. So point one, there is one authentic way of delivering us from our lost condition. And that way is through Jesus. That is God's authentic gospel. But here is the sad thing. We can quickly turn and desert that authentic gospel and take on a fake gospel. Let's read verses 6 to 7. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Our second point is that we can turn quickly to a fake gospel. You see, we live in a very pluralistic spiritual culture. It's very much that all religions are right, aren't they? Except those that claim to be the only right one. Now, you could think that surely God's okay with having just a bit of Jesus in your religion. Surely if we simply have any religion with Jesus in it, then surely that's close enough for God. You know, Islam has Jesus, Hindus have Jesus, Mormons have Jesus. Surely if all these people are trying their best to please God, then that's okay. They're trying to have a go at following God. Surely God just is happy with that. Even if they don't have an authentic gospel, you can sort of feel that, can't you? You can feel that. You know, you have your nice neighbour who does some really nice religious things. Surely God's okay with the way they live. Surely they'll be in heaven. Paul is very clear. No. Paul tells us there is only one gospel, only one Jesus, only one way to be rescued. And if we have a gospel or religion or anything we think in our heads that is contrary to what Paul and the other apostles preach, we are in big eternal danger. This is the biggest warning sign you could ever read in your entire life. I want to say that again. This is the biggest warning sign you could ever read in your entire life. Forget about all those ones on the road. This is the important one. Don't forget about the ones on the road. Just see them as less important as this one. Okay? Don't want to have the preacher say, oh, I can just drive 200 k's now. But surely God is loving. Surely God is gracious in Christ. Surely God would just overlook a few different ideas and a few little errors we've added along the way to the gospel. So what if people have added a few things to Jesus? So what if people have taken out a few things to Jesus, just didn't suit them? Surely God will give them a pass for their spirituality because, you know, they're having a go. Yeah, it's not authentic, but the Jesus is there and, you know, no. No, Paul says no, there is only one authentic gospel. Anything that is not authentic is fake. It's fake. Why? Because it discredits Jesus. What does it do? It discredits his death It discredits his sacrifice. We play down Jesus in this fake gospel. We play down Jesus who gave himself to rescue us. We discredit God's only plan and will to save sinners. We say, no, God, that's not the way it's going to be. We discredit God's word and his wisdom to deliver us. We play down the overwhelming holiness of God, and we play down how lost we are within our sin. What we have done is rejected Jesus in a very neat religious way, and we think we're okay. But what we have is a fake that we've made or someone else has made, and we've believed it, and we end up with no gospel at all. We've accepted a fake and we don't even realise we have a fake. That is a dangerous place to be. That is a sad place to be. Because you have no Jesus, therefore you have no hope. You have no authentic Jesus. One word that stands out in all this is grace. You know, verse 6, we are called into grace. Grace is found in Jesus. Everything outside of grace is ourselves, isn't it? Grace is that God's mercy is greater than our sin. You know, I read a quote recently by Richard Sibbes. He was sort of an Anglican-Puritan. And this is what he writes. There is more mercy in Christ than sin in us. What a great little thing to carry around with you. There is more mercy in Christ than sin in us. That's a great picture of grace. That's a great picture of God's mercy for us. That we are guilty of sin. It goes deep down within our hearts and wills. But far greater is God's grace. That he has shown us mercy because of Jesus. A fake gospel is a graceless religion that relies on something other than Jesus. It's a fake gospel that tells you Jesus isn't all you need. A fake gospel tells you that you need to do more than just trust in Jesus' work on the cross. A fake gospel calls you to trust in your own ideas, your own religion, or your own efforts. That's why Paul was writing this letter. They had deserted Jesus and turned from grace to religious works, and they were in a very dangerous place. They think they're okay with God, but they're not. That's why Paul writes with passion. He's deeply concerned for these Galatian people. He loves them. He shared the gospel with them. He shared his life with them. But somehow, someone had swapped the authentic gospel with a fake. Jesus is speaking to them and he's speaking to us because we too need to be on guard against a fake gospel. This church was planted, this church of Galatia was planted by the Apostle Paul in the first century. This church was fed by the authentic gospel of Jesus through Paul personally. And after some time, they turned to a fake gospel. Somehow they were convinced to throw away this authentic gospel. The Judaizers, these were Jews who had grown up knowing all about the Old Testament laws, had been practicing Judaism, and they knew about Jesus. They had come in. They're called Judaizers, often in the scriptures, in the New Testament. And they came in, they twisted the gospel. They were devoted to making people Jews before they could become Christians. And if that can happen to them, it can happen to us. We might not be going around saying the same things as the Judaizers. We might not be saying things trying to make people Jews. But we might be saying things like, unless they come to church for a certain time, they can't be a real believer. Or until they've shown some commitment to a Bible study, they can't be baptized. Well, clearly they're not a real believer, as they really need to be, you know, following along the Bible more, particularly when I'm preaching. Or until they grasp certain doctrines, I have doubts about their salvation. So these can be very dangerous ideas, can't they? Very dangerous ideas. But we can think them, can't we? We've all probably thought them at some stage. We can say them. So we need to be on guard for the fake gospels. As leaders, as husbands, as parents, we need to be on guard because a fake gospel will destroy those around us. When all people hear about this, what we think over and over again, they will hear a fake gospel if it's not got Jesus and his gospel in it. So we need to take God's word seriously, and that's where we can know the authentic gospel, can't we? That's where we can grow ourselves in knowing the gospel, in knowing Christ. That's where we can grow our families, our churches, through his word, through soaking his word in, through soaking the gospel message through. And if we do these things, we don't easily fall into the fake gospel. That's why Paul is writing this letter. He wants them to have some concrete words in place so they can take it and read it and feast on it. Feast on it. Because it's so easy to want to add our own things to Christianity. But what happens is our gospel becomes not about Jesus. It's all about the things we've added. And for the Galatians, it was adding the Jewish ceremony, laws, and the rituals. Most of the time, it was adding circumcision in order to be a real Christian. Fake gospels tell you it's up to you. And so often, we don't want to feel like we're missing out, and so we join in on those things. We join in on those fake gospel ideas. And so we do things because we don't want to feel odd. Fake gospel is about pleasing others, pleasing our parents, putting on a good religious show. And they often grow out of fear or worry or anxiety. We worry. We've got to adhere to these things. Fake gospels distort the truth and follow a graceless Christianity. So our second point, there is only one authentic gospel. Make sure you trust in it and don't turn from it. Make sure your gospel is about Jesus and his work on the cross. If eternal life matters to you, read that sign. Read the warning sign and make sure you have the authentic gospel. Make sure Jesus matters to you. Well, let's read on, verses 8 to 9. Let's think about our third point. Fake gospels are attractive. They're attractive, but fake gospels are evil. Verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Well, there are many things that take us captive in our world. In our present age, many ideas come in very attractive packages. So our third point, like I said, is that it may seem attractive, but it's fake, and a fake gospel is evil. Now, you think having an angel appear would be quite a wow experience. Would it be exciting to speak with an angel? Often you hear people you talk to, they trust in angels, they pray to angels. It's a bit of a sort of New Agey sort of thing. I think it's extremely dangerous, that sort of ideas. But however, Paul is giving us a very clear warning here. If an angel tells you a different gospel, don't trust him. Now, it may seem a bit strange that an angel would preach a wrong gospel. If we read about the angels in Acts, they all seem to be doing a pretty good job. They all seem to be pointing people to the apostles and pointing people to Jesus. They all seem to be doing a good job for their gospel mission. You notice if you actually read it, they never actually proclaim the gospel. They always point people to an apostle to proclaim the gospel, which is quite an interesting thing. The gospel is given to us, not to the angels, it seems to imply. Now, the Bible does say also that Satan can present himself as an angel of light. Now, that may be what Paul is referring to. However, I sort of think that Paul is maybe just giving the readers and us a big rebuke wake-up call. You see, those who were teaching the fake gospel would have been pretty clever sort of guys. They would have seemed quite impressive, quite spiritual. They would have quoted scripture, particularly in the Old Testament. They would have twisted things around the Old Testament. And the Jews had tasted Christianity would have been very convincing teachers. They would have seemed as more mature as those non-Jewish Gentiles, who are mostly the church in Galatia. But we've known God longer, they may have said. We've known God longer. We're actually true children of Abraham. But Paul is clear. They distort, they twist, and make a fake gospel. So Paul goes to something even more impressive than them. He said Paul goes to this glorious angel to make his point. And I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to show an overwhelming, impressive spiritual being like an angel. Don't even believe an impressive angel, because the authentic gospel originates from Jesus. Paul tells us, even if we, that's himself and the other apostles, preach a different gospel, which they're not doing, but he's making a really bold point. If he or any of the other apostles preach a different gospel, they are to be rejected as fakes. They're in grave danger, just as the angels. Clearly, the apostles, like Paul, didn't preach a fake gospel, but like I said, he's making a point. The gospel is about Jesus. It comes from him. It's not the apostles' gospel or teaching, it's Jesus. And so the apostles are not greater than God's word. They sit under it like all of us. Every leader sits under God's word. If the apostles do it, we do it. We sit under it. If an apostle, an angel, the pastor or your parent teaches a fake gospel, they are to be accursed. Because God takes his gospel seriously. There's only one authentic gospel, and God will have no fake substitutes. The meaning of accursed is to be set aside for severe judgment. They will not receive the grace and mercy of God. Sadly, they will receive the wrath and punishment of God. That is a very severe warning. Paul's including himself. He's including the angels, and he's including all of us. So serious that if an angel preaches a different gospel, ignore them and let them be accursed. Even if Paul preached a different gospel, let him be accursed. Even if I or anyone at Seed, let them be accursed. It shows the seriousness of the gospel. It shows the seriousness of Jesus' work. So important that Paul repeats it again. Verse 9, and when we have said before, which is obviously said to them there, but possibly even in person. So now I say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one that you received, let him be accursed. Why? Because the gospel isn't Paul's truth, isn't my truth. It didn't originate from Paul or me. The gospel didn't originate with angels. It came from God, and it's about Jesus, who is God. It's about Jesus, who is God in the flesh. In verse 1, Paul tells us his authority is not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. It's all about Jesus, who came in human flesh to die for us, so that we could be delivered from spiritual death to new life. Having been forgiven, having been declared guilt-free and holy before our God, having been declared a child of God. And yet people want to tamper with things, don't they? They want to make things a bit more newer, trendy it up. And why wouldn't you? You can understand why people do it, but it is a dangerous place to be, as evil. We want to feel like we are good. We want to boost ourselves up better than other people by adding things to the gospel, or to make the gospel more culturally inclusive by taking things out. But it is a dangerous place to be. What would a church look like without the gospel? I thought about that. Well, it'd be a lovely bunch of people who hang out together, drinking coffee, having a chat about footy and life. It'd be a bunch of people who love to sing songs based on historical literature. People who read and hear talks that give great religious advice. It would be a community who love getting involved with good causes. People who are passionate about family values, poverty and justice. A place where we want to not offend people's values and life's choices. A place where people hear motivational talks that help them live the good life. Notice how I've taken Jesus fairly strongly out of that. Taken the gospel out. And it actually does look somewhat attractive. You can sort of tack Jesus into some of those things, but if Jesus is missing at the heart of that, if the gospel is not the heart of everything we do, then everything is missing from what we do. If the gospel is not there, it's missed everything. It may seem nice, but it's a fake. It's evil because it gives people false hope, false security. Well, what can we learn? We've probably learned already a lot of things. But the Galatian believers started off with an authentic gospel, but over time they had reverted to a fake gospel. The one true gospel is the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus, who delivered us from this present age into the kingdom. The crucifixion was not God's mistake. It was not some historical blunder. Jesus dying was God's purpose in saving sinners. You know, for the first 21 years of my life, I believed I had an authentic gospel. But what I had was a fake. And it was as I read God's word that Jesus convicted me, the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I discovered who Jesus really was, who Jesus really is. And so I want to ask you today, do you have the authentic gospel? Is it active in your life? Or have you believed a fake gospel? If you stand before Jesus and say, well, an angel told me this. Or, well, my parents taught me this. Or is it, this is what you told me, Jesus, in your word. And I believed and I trusted it. That in you, only in you, can I be accepted and welcomed as a child of God. That's the heart of the gospel. Maybe you are here today and this is for the first time and you've heard the fullness about Jesus and his message. Well, hearing that means that you need to take action if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know his message. God calls you to respond. Respond by believing. Respond by turning to him in repentance. That's saying, I'm sorry, but it's also turning away from that present evil age, that world that says you want to go yes to, and you're saying, turning away from that and turning to Jesus. You're trusting in him and following him, trusting his work on the cross that has dealt with your sins. Maybe that's you today. Maybe spend time in prayer asking God those things. Are you delivered through Jesus? Through his work on the cross? Is that the core of what it means for you today to be a follower of Jesus? We have in our midst, in our hands, God's word, we have the authentic message, the authentic gospel of hope, a message to all people. Does that authentic gospel of Jesus flow out in your life? Does it flow out in those around you? Or do you present people with a fake gospel? Because that's actually what's at work right now in your life, and you don't even know it. Hear the warnings from God, hear the warnings from Jesus, and respond appropriately. Let's ask Jesus now to help us in prayer, because we do need his help, and even for those that have been Christians for a while, we can easily slip into little facets of this. So let's pray. Father God, thank you that thank you for Paul's writings. Thank you that he did have the authentic gospel and he wrote to this early church because they were losing it or lost it. Lord, thank you for the directness. Lord, sometimes we need a wake-up call. Lord, help us as we study through Galatians to keep this in mind, keep the gospel in mind. Lord, help us as we live, be people that just soak in your word, and out from it flows an authentic gospel that just flows to our families, in our workplace, to friends, within our church. Lord, thank you that what you have entrusted each of us is something for all people. And Lord, we want to get it right. And Lord, we pray we see the warning signs and we respond appropriately, rightly. Thank you, Lord, that all your will and the plan through Christ was no blunder or accident, but it was purposeful, and it was your will to save us sinners. So, Lord, thank you. If we're one of those today, we praise you. We praise you for the grace, and we praise you for the peace we have. Thank you, Almighty God. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Let's have a coffee. Please, if you feel like you need some encouragement, if you're unclear, please talk to someone, encourage each other. God bless and have a good week. Thank you.